All right. Depending on your age, would you pull out your old Bible or your new Bible? Welcome to New Life Fellowship. It's good to see all of you. One more announcement real quick. In 2 weeks, we will have our annual business meeting. So if you are a member of New Life Fellowship, we invite you to stay. It'll be right after service here in the sanctuary. We emailed you or sent you a link where you can access the annual report. But if you want a hard copy, we have those available upon request. So, Super Bowl today. Does anybody care? Because the Broncos are not in it. I mean, do we really care? Commercials and food. Amen? Commercials and food. There was this teacher who was new to her class, and she was in Kansas City, and so she wanted to make a good impression on the students there in the class. And so she says, "Hey guys, you know, Super Bowl, how many are in here are Kansas City Chiefs fans?" And everybody raised their hands up for one little girl. And so she's like, "You didn't raise your hand." And she says, no, I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan." She goes, "Why are you a Buccaneers fan?" "Well, my parents are from Tampa, and they're Buccaneer fans, and so I'm going for the Buccaneers." And the teacher was confused. Says, "Well, just because your parents are something, you doesn't mean you have to be what your parents are. What if your dad was a drug dealer and your mom was a thief? Well, what would you be then?" And she said, "Well, I'd be a Kansas City Chiefs fan." All right. All right. Hey, today we are starting a month-long series called Entrusted, The Life of Stewardship. And I am really excited about this series because stewardship is so important, and it's throughout the Bible. And it's not just talking about money, it's a lifestyle of stewardship. After our series here in February on stewardship, we're going to dive into a who knows how long of a series through the book of Ephesians, which will be really, really exciting. But stewardship, entrusted. I looked up what the word entrusted means. It simply means to be appointed, to have someone take care of something of their own. You're appointed, you're entrusted. And the stewardship in the Greek and Hebrew both mean the same thing. It means to be an agent of something or a butler of something. So you're entrusted, you're a butler, God's stuff. I found a biblical definition, and here's a slide of a biblical definition of stewardship, and I think it's really, really good. Can you bring that up? It is this. Oh, you'll have to switch slides, and there you go, yeah. Biblical definition is utilizing and managing all, everybody say all.
All
resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of his creation. And so managing everything that God has given in your life, your money, your possessions, your health, your marriage, your job, your kids, your attitude, your life, the words that come out of your mouth. Can you understand these words that are coming out of my mouth? All of that is entrusted. You are to be a good steward of that. That's more than money, isn't it? It's more, far more than money. It kind of goes back to this idea. I don't know if you heard of this, but he's the one thing that drives everything. Have you heard that? That's our mission, vision for our church. He is the one thing that drives everything that we do, right? He's the one thing that drives everything we do. Oh, before I get going, my niece wanted to ask me, I was on a Zoom call with her last night. She goes, "Uncle Dane, are you preaching tomorrow?" She lives in Cody, Wyoming. And so Lila and Hartley, hi, good to see you. Pay attention. Don't play with the dog. Pay attention. So. But he's the one thing that drives everything that we do. God is to be glorified in all things. Amen. All things in your life. And we have been given this wonderful and amazing opportunity. We are trusted to be good stewards of what He has given us. And to do that, I believe, to be a good steward requires faith. It requires faith. You cannot glorify God unless you have faith. It's impossible to glorify God without faith. We read this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says this, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Another word for pleasing God is, without faith, it is impossible to worship God. It's impossible. If you're lacking faith in God, you're not fully pleasing God. So to be a good steward with what God has entrusted to you, the first step in being a good steward is to have faith and faith in God. To worship God in faith. Stewardship requires faith. If we want God to bless our lives, we all want God to bless our lives. I have never met somebody and say, I don't really want God to bless me. Everybody desires God to bless their lives. And in Hebrews, what we just read, it says, whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and He rewards those who seek Him. But it starts with faith. It starts with faith. We all desire to bless Him. So we're going to look at a couple people in the Bible today, one who had faith and one who did not have faith. And before we get into that, let's pray. Say, God, come and be upon our time together. Father, oh God, we need You. Every day we need You, we need You, we need You. And Lord, we ask that You would come. Holy Spirit, come right now and be with us as we read Your word, as You speak to us. Open our hearts to receive. Let's not have a hard heart of pushing away what You want to say, but open up our hearts, our ears, our minds, to our soul, body, spirit, to receive all that You have for us today. Bless this time, I pray. May You be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, either old or new, we're going to be looking at both the old and the new. So good job, Ethan. We're going to first look at Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to look at individuals you probably have heard of, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, they're going to be our main focus today. In Genesis chapter 4, if you don't have your Bible, it's going to be up on the screen. And I'm reading from the NIV this morning. I usually read from a ESV, but I liked how the NIV shares it. And so it says this, "Adam made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She says, 'With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man.' Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time," it's important, "in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions and some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.' Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field. while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So we have the story of Cain and Abel. Many of you have heard this story before, grown up hearing the story of this. And it's interesting to me that the sin that entered into the garden was the sin of disobedience, right? Don't eat of this fruit. So they ate of the fruit and entered in, and how fast sin escalated to murder. Fast sin takes control. And so Cain ends up killing his brother Abel, and we have the first murder, and now we hear about Abel again. And we hear about Abel again in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, there's this chapter. It's called the faith chapter. It's chapter 11. And the writer of Hebrews is writing all about these people in history that had great faith. And Abel is mentioned in it. And it says in verse 4 of chapter 11, by faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. So from these two passages of Scripture, I want to share with you a few reasons of how stewardship, being entrusted with what God has given us, being entrusted with our lives and our possessions, in our relationships, being entrusted with what God has given us, acts, how it works out through faith. In the example, Cain and Abel. So first one, if you're taking notes, is that God desires our first and our best. He desires the first and the best. The writer of Hebrews says that Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. Other translations said a more acceptable offering than Cain did. So to help illustrate this, I asked Warner and Caleb to come on up. One of them is going to be Cain. One of them is going to be Abel. I don't know when they decided, and I don't know if there's any like rocks around here that they're really mad at each other or whatever. So which one's Cain and which one's Abel? All right, you are, Werner, since you're a great guy, you're going to be Abel. Caleb, I've had questions about you my entire life. And you're going to be Caleb. So we're going to have Abel over here, Warner over here, Caleb over here. All right, so Scripture says that they brought an offering to the Lord. Now, I want us to get this. They brought an offering of worship to God. Think about that. The first example of worship to God was not drums. No offense, Warner, who plays the drums, and he is an amazing drummer. And it wasn't a bass player or a bass guitar. It wasn't any kind of songs that we sing. It wasn't the hymnal, turn to page 163 and stand as we sing verses 1, 2, and not 4. It wasn't that was worship to God. Instruments and all those other things were brought in later. We see that in Scripture. But the very first act of worship was an offering. And Cain and Abel both knew this, whether God told them personally or his parents, their parents told them. We don't know. But they knew that it was their responsibility to come and worship God, and how they worshiped God was with an offering. And so Scripture says that Cain brought some fruit. He's got a picture of fruit. I didn't get a big sign. Oh, look at here. Hello, sweetie. Can I pick her up? Oh, hello. Oh. Hey, little girl. You want to help me preach? All right. So, Cain brought the fruit from the garden. He was a farmer. So, he brought what he grew. Now, Abel was a shepherd. And Abel brought one of his sheep to God as an act of worship. Now, there are a couple things in play here, that God desires our first and best, that God desires our worship. He desires our worship. And the Bible makes it clear that Abel brought his firstborn, his first and best to God, while Cain did not. And how we know this is because Scripture tells us, and in the process of time, Cain brought an offering. So it wasn't his first, and we don't know if it was his best, but it certainly was not his first. So the implication here is that the first fruits that Cain brought, these were not his first fruits. They were just fruits. They were just, oh, I'll take these and bring it to God as an offering. While Abel brought the firstborn to God. And what this symbolizes is this, is Abel here brought the firstborn of a, what did they call it, a ewe. And what is important about this is that Abel didn't know if that ewe would ever have any more lambs. Right? He didn't know. Now, most likely you would. I get, this is kind of freaking me out with the language here. Don't you agree? I don't even know your name. What's her name?
Everly.
You're so beautiful. So he didn't know if the ewe would ever have any more lambs. Most ewes would have two lambs a year, I believe, or two lambs every 2 years, something like that. But he didn't know. There's no guarantee. There is no guarantee that you would ever have any more lambs. But the offering is I'm going to bring my first without knowing that this lamb will ever have any more, and I'm going to present it to God. Cain, on the other hand, said, here's some leftovers, and I'm going to give that to God, my worship. God desires our first and our best. Amen? Yeah. Let's give thanks to that they didn't kill each other, to Cain and Abel. So, and I'm going to have Everly come down. It's good to see you, Everly. Go to mommy. All right. Now, so we're talking about the first and the best, to have a spiritual mindset that I want to give God my first and my best. So how does that look with us? How does that play out in our world of first and best? Here is what I think it means. Later on, we see this word tithe come up in Scripture. And you may have heard it in being in church and so forth, giving of your tithe. The word tithe simply means a tenth. To give God a tenth of what you have. So, as an illustration, I'm going to move these papers in your book here. As an illustration of this, I have 10 $1 bills. And you know how hard it was to track down cash these days? So I had 10 $1 bills, all right? So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. 10 $1 bills. What is the tithe? $1, right? $1. Does it matter which dollar? It does. It does. It's the first dollar. It's the first dollar that matters. God wants the first. So what this plays out, I laid this one down first. He wants this one first. So what that means in our lives and trusting God, being trusted and walking by faith in giving, is I'm going to give God my tithe before I pay any of the other bills. I'm going to give God, it's the act of faith. It's like Abel. I'm going to give the lamb without knowing if this lamb's going to ever have another lamb. I'm going to give a tenth of my money before I pay my mortgage, before my rent, before I pay food, groceries, all those other things. You say, well, Dane, you don't understand. That's going to be really hard. That's really difficult. It's faith. It's faith. We are to be good stewards by walking by faith. And God is pleased by our faith, and he rewards those who give, those who walk by faith. It's saying, God, I am trusting you with the 90%, and I know you could do more with the 90% than I could do with 100%. And I'm walking by faith and trusting him and knowing that he's going to reward me. And his reward doesn't always look financial. It may be financial, but we don't look at this as an investment thing, like, you know, your game stock. You don't look at it as an investment. You say, okay, I gave my 10th, you owe me 20. It's like, no, this is my worship. This is my worship to you. And I'm worshiping you through faith, believing you're going to provide. So he may provide financially, but he also may provide strength in your marriage. He may provide strength in your relationships. He may provide a promotion at work. He may provide whatever, good health, whatever. And it doesn't mean all those things will happen to you. It may be just one or two of those things. It's up to him. It's up to him how he's going to bless you. It's just trusting that he will bless you. And so, first and the most, and I could go on and on in Scripture about this, but one of my favorite passages of Scripture is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Ha! I got to build bigger barns. I got to believe that promise, because that's a promise. That's a promise. And honoring the Lord, honor, honor, honor. It's not just giving. It's honor, worship, faith, honor. And he will bless you to your barns overflowing, your vats, whatever those are, will overflow with new wine, which a lot of you will probably have this afternoon while you watch the football game. But that's overflow with new wine. Oh, I want that in my life. I want that blessing in my life. I want to honor. I want to worship. I want to give in faith to God. Second point, and I know I need to move on, but second point, God looks at the heart. Now, I said it's a strong implication that Cain did not bring his first fruits to God, but I think more than that, he didn't have the right heart before God. God told Samuel, when Samuel was looking for a king to anoint a king, and he went to Jesse, and all the brothers were standing there, and he's like looking at the outward appearance and go, oh, it's got to be this guy. Oh, it's got to be this guy. It's got to be this guy. And God says, listen, Samuel, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. I look at the heart, and that's when King David came about. I believe that God knew the heart of Cain, and he knew that Cain would fully worship him, wasn't fully worshiping him with his whole heart. Therefore, God did not accept his worship. And I'm telling you right now, this should cause us to really reflect on how we worship God, not just financially, but how we come to God in worship. Because we have a lot of small g gods in our life, and the number one small g god in our life is self. What I like this song. I like this style. I like this method. I like that preaching. I like this. I like that. And we have the whole gift of worship of me, myself, and I, what I like. And your heart's not in it if you don't like it. But God looks at our heart in our worship, in our life, in everything we do, whether it be songs that we sing or money we give or the life that we live. God looks at your heart. You say, come on, Dane, does God really look at what we give? He doesn't care as long as I give. No, God looks at what you give. It's in Scripture. Jesus was sitting there at the temple, and he was watching what people were giving. Think about that. Jesus made a point to go to the temple to sit and watch what people gave. And we read about it in Mark 12, verse 41 through 44. It says this, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, he says, hey guys, come here, look at this. Truly, truly, I say to you, the poor has put in more into the treasury than all the others, that they gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on. She gave out of faith. She gave out of faith. And it has nothing to do with how much money you have. It has to do with your heart. I am worshiping God with everything. I don't know where the rest of the money is going to come for the rest of the month, but I got to worship. I'm going to worship God. I don't care if I know the lyrics to this song. I'm just going to close my eyes and worship. I don't care if the style of preaching is what I like or whatever. I'm just going to read God's word and worship because I can be here in the presence of God. It's about your heart. Number three, God is merciful and gracious. Here's what I love about the story of Cain and Abel. And I know Abel gets all the good press, which he should. But God was still longing. He was longing for Caleb's heart. You read it. You hear it in the words. You hear it in Genesis. Look at what God says. The Lord said to Abel, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your faith downcast? If you do what is right, will not you be accepted? But you do not know what is right. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. The Lord is saying to Cain, come on. Do what is right. Sin's there. It's crouching at the door. It wants to overtake you. And it's true, isn't it? The temptation of the devil that puts in front of us is crouching there and wanting to overtake us. He says, if you don't, sin will have you. In our household, I have always been a dog guy. We never owned a cat growing up. We never had a cat. We never owned a cat because we don't want to. Dogs are much, much cooler. But this past year, my son Connor graduated from high school, and the year before, Ethan graduated, and Ethan got a dog, and we said, hey, Connor, what do you want for graduation? He says, I want a cat. I said, Connor, I don't think you heard me. What do you want for graduation? He says, I want a cat. I said, go talk to your mother. So we got this cat. Cornelius is his name. And there he is, right there. That's Cornelius. I tell you, I love this cat. I love watching this cat. He is so funny. You know, he'll let you know if he wants to be around you, and he'll let you know if he doesn't. It's all up to him. You know, he'll come in and hang out with you. Other times, you'll go, hey, Cornelius, and he'll run away. Our dog, our Ethan's dog that comes over, just wants to be with you all the time. And the cat just kind of looks at him and goes like, you're crazy. But what I love about Cornelius is this, is that we'll put out a piece of toy or a toy out in the living room and everything. And if he's in the mood to play, he has to be in the mood, but if he's in the mood to play, he'll get just like that. He'll kind of crouch down. And he'll go around in the hallway and kind of peek around the corner and look at the toy. And out of nowhere, suddenly, fast speed, he'll come and just pounce on it and jump on the toy and turn around and just, you know, start playing with the toy. And then he'll run away. And other times his favorite toy, it's weird. Don't ever go to PetSmart. Because his favorite toy is a wadded up aluminum foil. It's his favorite toy. He'll just come up and he'll go and hit it down our floor, and he'll run after it and chase it. He likes to play with the toy, the cat. He pounces on it. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Let me say something here. The devil is not some pet playing with the toy. He wants you to think that. He wants you to think that he's just some little house pet. He's just innocent. He's just, oh, it's no big deal. This temptation, oh, it's no big deal. This pornography, oh, it's no big deal. This addiction, oh, it's no big deal. That's what he wants you to think, that it's no big deal. And the biggest thing, I believe, this roaring lion that wants to attack and devour you, what he wants to attack is your faith. The number one thing he wants to attack is your faith. Why? Because faith is how we please God. Because faith is how we worship God. It's through faith that we see and experience miracles. It's through faith how we come to God. It's through faith how we grow closer to God. It's through faith how we receive the blessings of God. If it's through faith that we get all of that, that's why he's doing it. That's why he's attacking your faith. That's why the very first thought that comes in your mind when you want to give 10% and says, I don't know. Because devil wants to attack your faith to believe that God can't do it, or he won't do it, or he's got too many other things to worry about than you. God warns Cain, and in doing so, he's showing mercy. He's showing grace. There are some of you today who are going through the motions in regards to your worship. And I'm not just talking about offering, your worship. You're not worshiping your whole mind, soul, and body. You may come into church and you worship him on church, but Monday through Saturday, you're not worshiping God. You're going through the motions. And I'm telling you right here, right now, what God's saying to Cain is saying to you, get right. Stop playing a game, because sin is crouching at the door and he wants to devour you. Satan wants to devour you. He wants to devour you. And God right now, in his grace, in his mercy, is waiting for you to repent and come to him and trust him to make him the one thing that drives everything in your life. Trust God. Don't allow Satan to devour you or take away your faith. And then lastly, God blesses your life. Going back to Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. When God spoke well of his offering, Abel still speaks, even though he faith offering, God did two things for Abel. One, he commended him as righteous. And two, his life still speaks even though he is dead. There are many blessings that go along with tithing and being a good steward. And we often look at the financial blessings, but there's so much more that God wants to bless us with. I mentioned it earlier, our marriage, our kids, our family, our relationships, our health, our job, our situations, everything. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. It may be one, it may be all, it may be a couple, but God wants to bless you, and he does it through faith. But this is because of righteousness. God counted it to him as righteousness. Those are all great, the blessings, financial, all those things. Awesome. But the greatest blessing, the righteousness, is this: knowing him. Knowing him. It is through faith that you please God. It is through faith that you come to know God. I guarantee you, as you start giving, as you start trusting God with every area of your life, you're going to come to know him in ways you never experienced before. Don't do it just for the material blessings. Do it to know God. To know God. Second thing that it speaks of, and I'm going to ask Skip if you come on up, bud. Second thing is blessing is that his life, even though he is dead, his life still speaks even though he's dead. How's his life still speak and he's dead? Well, it's 2021 and we're talking. I think legacy of faith speaks. Trust in God is the first and best for us to follow, but God uses our faith in him to speak to the next generation. Your life is a legacy, and it's speaking to the next generation, good and bad. And if you live a life of faith, live a life of saying, I'm going to trust God, if your kids, your grandkids, your nieces and nephews, or whoever's around you, your workers, your co-workers, your friendships, see a life of faith, of trusting in God, it's going to last long after you die. People will speak, man, Scott, Marla, man, they lived a life of faith. Ben and Corey, they lived a life of faith. Julio and Monica, they lived a life of faith. And God blesses that. Blesses that. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Are you giving God your first and best in everything? Not just finances. In everything. What steps do you need to take to do that? What steps do you need to take this week to say, okay, God, I'm gonna start trusting you. If you're the one thing that drives everything, then I'm going to trust you with everything. What do you need to change in your life when it comes to giving? What do you need to change in your life when it comes to your time? What do you need to change in your life when it comes to your resources? Time, treasures, and talents. What do you need to change to give God your time, your treasures, and your talents? He is gracious and he is merciful. Sin, Satan, is crouching at each of our doors wanting to devour you. The only way we master it is through faith in Jesus Christ. You are a new person in Jesus. Now, I know that there are some here today, either here in this room or watching online, who have not come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to say, yes, I want Jesus. I want to trust him. Today is a day where you can make that decision. Say, yes, I repent my sins. Say, no more. And allowing through faith God to justify you, to make you a new person. It's only by what he does. You have to believe is who he says he is. I keep going in and out here, but he is God, and he's longing to have a relationship with you, with me. Wow. You just got to receive him. Bible says that Jesus stands at our door and he knocks, wanting anyone who will open the door to come in, and he will come in and be with you. Would you receive him today? Would you just bow your heads in prayer right now? Father, I repent of my sins. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. God, you sent your son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die on the cross, to take my place. You gave me your goodness, and I gave you my sin. It's not a fair trade, but that's what you did. I receive you into my life today by faith. Transform me and make me a new person. And Lord, I pray for those who are believers who have today yet in our worship. And when I say worship, in our giving, our life, everything we do, we are not giving you all. We're not trusting you with all. Lord, give us the faith to trust, to believe that you will do what you said you were going to do. We put our faith in you, and we want to be good stewards of all that you've given us. And how we do that is by giving first to you and trusting you with the rest. Help us to live that life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand with me? Skip's going to close us with this song, and it's called I Will Worship. I Will Worship. Let's do that right now. Father, Lord, that is our prayer. We will give you all of our worship, give you all of our praise, for you alone are worthy of it all. Worthy of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, everyone.